to you, I pray that you receive. In the name of Jesus Christ. My wife and I have just returned from a conference. It's a North American Conference on Transformation out of Vallejo, California. It was so encouraging. And my dilemma is how to condense those 2 days plus down to the short time we have here. I would just go through the highlights of the conference, but the problem is the whole conference is a highlight. So please bear with me and receive. So Vallejo is a unique city. Vallejo was the first city to declare bankruptcy. See, Vallejo was a major naval base and on Mayor Island, a shipyard, and the Navy pulled out, and it became a ghost town. It also caused thousands of jobs to be lost in Vallejo. But something is happening in Vallejo. All of a sudden, there are businesses moving into Vallejo. Corporations are moving onto Mayor Island and setting up households. They just built a million-dollar ferry terminal. The mayor, who was elected during the bankruptcy, Osby Davis, when they first ran the tally, he lost to a female of alternate lifestyle by 3 votes. They recounted, found out he actually won by 7 votes. So he's a mayor who's in a divided city. There's not a lot of encouragement there. He entered in a city of hopelessness. Yet something happened. There were businessmen, pulpit ministries, came together and started praying for their city. They came to the mayor and started praying for him. One of these gatherings, the mayor publicly declared Vallejo a city of God. Things started changing. God started blessing Vallejo. What is transformation? Transformation. Well, to better explain it, I guess, first, it's ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. We have any ordinary people here? The other thing, where the presence of God is being taken right into the heart of the marketplace, breaking down the 4 walls of our church, not keeping God boxed up. Now, I have often, and I've said it again, and a house of God. Let's take God out of the house and let's put him in the marketplace. Let's put him where it's needed. Also, it's a place where there's whispering of prayer throughout the city. Cities like Vallejo, cities like Elk River, Minnesota, cities like Newark, New Jersey, these are transformation cities. Newark, New Jersey. Interesting. Well, Newark, New Jersey was declared in 1996 as the worst city in America because of its high crime rate. Yet on January 28, 2008, which is Martin Luther King's birthday day, prayer for Newark, a prayer initiative, was started. It was individuals adopting their city streets and praying for them, going out. And in that first month of prayer. Actually, after the first month of prayer, they saw 48 days of no homicides in Newark. This was unprecedented. As prayer increased, you saw crime increase, decrease. Newark, New Jersey had never experienced this in 50 years. So as prayer increased throughout the city, it increased to, they claimed, 30% of the streets in prayer. People adopting their streets, walking their streets, proclaiming the kingdom of God has come on those streets. 30% of the city's streets were covered. Crime dropped 30%. The number increased to 80% of the streets covered in prayer. Individuals adopting their streets, just being faithful to pray over those streets. Crime dropped 80%. Today, 100% of Newark, New Jersey streets are covered. 100%, along with Elizabeth, New Jersey, and Plainsville, New Jersey. Recently, Newark has experienced a full month of no homicides. Does prayer work? Yes. So how does transformation happen? Are we able to get that thing going? Okay. Thank you. Okay, how does transformation happen? First of all, hope. New Jersey was in a state of hopelessness. Vallejo was in a state of hopelessness. But however, hope is hopelessness waiting to be transformed. That's the good news. Well, I think the key thing for all of these places was marketplace ministers and pulpit ministers came together in a cohesive union to see change, to seek the Lord and hear His direction. I had to explain like this. The church is like a swamp. It's an ecosystem in and of itself. That which lives in the swamp feeds on others in the swamp. And the water stays in the swamp. But a river flows from the source to a thirsty land. You know what the difference between a river and a swamp is? Banks. River banks. So you want to see a river of transformation flow? We need banks. Now, there's two banks in transformation. The first one is five pivotal paradigms of transformation. That's one bank. The second bank is prayer evangelism. Go ahead. These make transformation sustainable and expandable. You know, we've had revivals come to Humboldt County. We've had movements in Humboldt County, but none of them were sustainable. And they were all focused in maybe a church or a congregation or a few denominations here and there, but they never went much further. We didn't see a whole lot of change. I was ambassador for Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers impacted many men's lives, but it wasn't sustainable. I didn't see it go much further. Yes, it benefited some churches, men's groups, and I praise the Lord for that, because there were men's that lives were changed, families were changed. But we need the river to flow. We are connected by these five paradigms. These are essential for sustaining transformation to take place. To see what we have never seen, We must do what we have never done, or else we will continue to see what we have always seen. Paradigms are like a pair of glasses. Without the pair of glasses, I can see. Not very clearly, but I can see. But you put the glasses on and you see more clearly. What I'm presenting to you today is not new. It's in the Word, throughout the Word. It's what Jesus' message was. The kingdom of God is at hand. So the first, embracing these five paradigms is the first step of a long, glorious journey. Now the first paradigm, the Great Commission is about discipling nations, not just people. Whoa, wait a minute. I've been working to disciple individuals. Just like the glasses. Oh, I've been looking here, but he's asking me to look there. No, God, I'm not able to disciple nations. What do you mean by that? It's an attitude change. There are three bricklayers. They're laying their bricks. This man came up to him. Asked the first one, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm pasting bricks together. Okay. He went to the second one. Says, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm building a wall. He went to the third one. And the third, he said, what are you doing? And the third one stopped and he looked up and he says, I'm building a cathedral. Were they doing the same thing? But their visions were different. And that's what God's asking us to have. Have a vision, his vision. His vision for our community, his vision for our county, his vision for the United States, his vision for the world. The second paradigm, the marketplace, the heart of the nation, has already been redeemed by Jesus. And now needs to be reclaimed by his followers. Think about it. The work's already done. Jesus already died and paid the price. Whoa. It's now, I walk and work in confidence that what I do will have eternal impact. The third, labor is a premier expression of worship on earth. And every believer is a minister. Every believer is a minister. As I was talking at the men's breakfast, I said, how many marketplace ministers are there? I think Dale Clark raised his hand. I said, what? How many people work for a living? A few hands went up. I said, how many people go to school, college? How many people shop at the grocery store? All the hands went up. I said, you're marketplace ministers. You are called by God to be ministers. Now that's kind of a different outlook than what I was brought up in. I mean, we hired a pastor and pay him. Why didn't he do all the work? Pastor, how come the church isn't growing? You're not doing your work. Maybe you need better sermons. Maybe you need better worship songs. Nah, wrong answer. The fourth paradigm. Our primary call is to build the not to build the church, but what? But take the kingdom of God where the kingdom of darkness is still entrenched in order for who to build the church? Amen. Jesus to build the church. Wow, I've been working so hard to build my church. I invite people all the time, the unsaved, and they don't come. So they could hear the message of the pastor. It's not working, folks. And what did I say earlier? I said, to see what has never we have never seen, a rapid growth in the fellowship, into the church, in the body of Christ, we must do what we have never done, or else we will continue to see what we always see. The last paradigm, the fifth one. This is interesting. The premier social indicator that transformation has taken place is the elimination of systemic poverty. Elimination of systemic poverty. No, that can't happen, can it? I seek to dislodge systems within my sphere of influence that keep me and others poor, spiritually, relationally, materially, and motivationally. The problem in Vallejo, the hopelessness, was a poverty that kept people in bondage. There was no hope. There was no motivation. There was no spirituality. There was nothing until individuals started praying for their streets, praying for their government, praying for the schools. Plain and simple. The second bank is prayer evangelism. Prayer evangelism. Plain and simply, we must see the presence and power of God meet the felt needs of the systemic challenges in our community and the world at large. We see this happen through our prayer as we bless. We speak peace to people and the systems that are around us. Because I cannot change what I do not embrace. Next is fellowship. We listen to find out where the pain and brokenness is in those around us. Had an opportunity to... I was at the hospital. A friend of mine is in the hospital with congestive heart disease. And Michael Standridge, please pray for him. But while I was there, I was leaving after praying with him, and I went to the elevator, and there's a guy on his squat down in the corner bawling. And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "My best friend is dying. He'll be dead in 2 hours." I said, "Can I pray?" He said, "Oh, I've already prayed." I said, "No, I'm going to pray and ask the God who loves him to touch him and to touch you, to encourage you, to help you get through this." So he took me to his room, and we prayed over him. And we had an opportunity to pray with the family there. I don't know who they was. I only know his name was Brian. Did he come alive? Was he healed? I don't know. I was just being obedient because God told me to go and pray and encourage and speak with them. I don't know. I know 3 hours later, Brian was still alive. They were still on this death watch. I know yesterday when I went to visit Michael, his room was empty. It's not for me to know from there on. It's me to be obedient. I heard a need, and I prayed. And it's in God's hand to meet that need, not me. Okay? After we fellowship and we find out what they need, we're allowed to minister. It's talking to God about someone else's problems. I connect man's needs with God's resources. I heard it this way. He says, "Don't try to talk to your neighbor about God until you talk to God about your neighbor." That's basically what it is. And I can tell you, it works. The last is declaring, let it be known that the kingdom of God is near. So I confirm the power and presence of God is in the neighborhood. God is in the neighborhood. I've been praying for my street. It's interesting. I have ladies living on this side and ladies living on this side. These ladies here, I very seldom see them. They're sleeping during the day. They work nights. Waitress and I forgot what the other one was. So I don't get to talk to them much. The ladies over here, they're nurses. They live in an alternate lifestyle. When there was the election on Proposition, what was it, 8? Someone came and put a sign in my, here, you need this. Yes on 8. And then they put one up, 8 is hate. And all of a sudden I saw walls going up. And after the election, I took that sign and tore it up, threw it away. They kept theirs in their window. And I said, God, I want to have a heart for them as you do. And my heart broke. And I started praying for them because they're on my street. And I started praying more intensely for them. And I said, God, break down that wall. And then I had an opportunity to see I could help them. It started out moving their garbage cans back and forth across the alley during garbage day. Next it was, hey, how you doing? Oh, fine, you know. Then it was, one day they bought a refrigerator and it didn't fit under their cabinet. They were saying, how can we make it fit? I said, let me do it. So I came, got my tools, cut it and fixed it so that their refrigerator fit. Then something else came up and I was able to help them. Then I was painting my house. I had scaffolding in the alley and I was moving the scaffolding, taking it all down, and she came out and helped me do it. I go, wow, thank you very much. She said, and she offered, do you want to use my pressure washer? No, thank you, appreciate it, though. If I do, I'll let you know. All of a sudden, walls are down. She bought a 1957 Airstream trailer. She thought, oh, no, what did I do? She said, I don't know that much about woodworking and that. How am I going to fix it? And I came over and I praised her. I said, wow, this is awesome. I said, This is really neat. This is a special trailer too. It's, you know, and it's a whale tail. I looked up all the information on it, and she said, "Will you help me?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Where are you going to park it?" She said, "Well, I'm going to take it to Indianola and the RV place and tow it back and forth." I said, "Hey, I got a spot on my alley. There's a little spot back there that it will fit on, but I got to clear. I'll clear it off, and you can put it there." She says, "Well, I'll clear it off." I said, "No, no problem." I said, "I already have Teen Challenge coming to do it." "You do?" I said, "Yeah." And so they cleaned it off, and all I had to do is move some pavers I had stacked in the way. So she came over to move with her gloves and started moving the pavers. I had the opportunity to share my testimony with her, and she said, "Thank you for sharing that with me. That's so encouraging." Next step, the other lady was diagnosed with cancer. Not good. She was suffering from fatigue. And I started praying for her. Just the other day, last week, had an opportunity to see them in the alley. They were doing a project, painting something. And I told them, they said, "Oh, how was the conference?" I said, "Awesome." And I said, this is what, you know, a few things I shared. And I said, "This is the power of prayer." I said, "You know, I've adopted our street, and you know I've been praying for you." "Yeah, yeah, we really appreciate that." And I said, "You know, I got a God that loves you, and I know he wants to touch you." And I told the one with cancer, I said, "I'm going to pray for you, that God touches you even now. And I know he will." 2 days later, they were going out, and I said, "Hi," and she called. She says, "Guess what?" She says, "I slept all night. I had great rest. Thank you." I said, "Praise the Lord." She says, "Yeah. God's been opening doors." What happens from there, it's all in his hands anyway. But I get to witness that. Wow. Okay. Some of the confusion is, how do you bless? Well, I take my Bible and I go and this is what the Word of God says. That's not a blessing. Oh, Lord, no, that's not a blessing at all. Sometimes that becomes a curse. But a blessing, if you take the word blessing and break it down, first of all, B, body. You pray for their body, for health on their body. Okay? How about L, livelihood? You pray that God will provide for them and bless them in that way. E, emotional needs, that God will give them stability in their emotions and so that they not in turmoil. We have a lot of people who are suffering emotionally here in Humboldt County. The mental health are overwhelmed. But I know a doctor that can cure that. The first S is social direction. That whatever in their life, if it is, that God will guide and direct it. And of course, the final one is spiritual direction. After all those prayers, Lord, I pray that your kingdom will come to their household. I pray that you, Jesus, would enter into their life. That's how you pray. That's what blessing is all about. But they're not Christian. You know? It doesn't matter. I love Mayor Osby Davis told me. He's the Vallejo mayor. He says, minister to the human needs rather than preaching to them. And you will see transformation. So we are all called to disciple nations. Matthew 28:19. Did he not say, therefore go and make disciples of all people? Of nations. That's our calling. That's what he has asked. All nations, Lord? Me? I want to tell you about a little lady who sold ice cream bars. I was just telling Jeremiah about this. This is awesome. She was in Thailand. She would put her little ice creams in her cart every day. She'd pray over every ice cream bar. And she'd push her little ice cream cart down the street, praying for her route. One of the houses she went by was the provincial governor's mansion. One day, the provincial governor comes out to get an ice cream cone. Little lady said, oh, I've been praying for you. Thanks. He said, where do you go to church? And she says, oh, I go to this little church. And so she presses on. That Sunday, they had an a minister from the United States. And he was going to come and share a message for them. Lo and behold, who would be in the congregation? The provincial governor and part of his staff. When the minister got up there and he saw that and he says, oh no. He says, my message is on bribery and graft and the evils of it. What do I do? So he delivered the message. Monday morning, he gets a call to come to the governor's office. Oh, man, I'm out of here. They're going to pull my visa. I'm out of here. That's it. No, the governor says, I need your help. I heard your message. He says, I've taken $1.5 million bribery from this hospital project. He says, this morning I tried to give it back. They couldn't take it back because it wouldn't, no way to account for it in their accounting. He says, it would show corruption in their office, so they didn't want it. What do I do with it? Well, the minister says, he says, you know, your people don't have clean water. He says, they pay a big price for water. He says, why don't you establish a water fund so you can bring fresh water to your community? Well, he did it. That fund grew to $7.5 million because the provincial governor, his household, his staff, and others in the government all became born-again Christians. Why? Yeah, she was faithful in her prayers. I mean, that's how God works. How and where? How and where for transformation? Acts 1 tells you. But you first of all, how? You will receive power. Where do you get the power from? The Holy Spirit, when it comes on you. And you will be my witness. First, Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. First in Blue Lake, then in Humboldt County, then California, then the United States, and then the world. He laid it out right there. Is he wrong? Is the word wrong? No. Is it true? How do we disciple the nations? Here's some ABCs for it. This was from King Flores. He's a pastor in the Philippines. He's building a church that's cost $186 million in his hometown. It's already paid for. It's a stadium. King Flores has led governors. He's led chief of police. I'll get it out. He's led generals. He's led presidents to the Lord. He's prayed over the presidents. He's prayed over government officials. He's been very influential in seeing the kingdom of God come to the Philippines. The Philippines is in turmoil, but God is bringing peace. He says, first, accept it as an assignment or calling of God. First and foremost, it is a calling. Who is he calling? Well, he's just calling Pastor Carey. No. Who is he calling?
All of us.
B, believe that God will do it and use you to do it. He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to allow him to use you to do it. See? My early walk, I thought, oh, if I could do this, I could do this, and I could, save this guy and save that guy. And God said, John, he said, you can't save anybody. And quit trying to do my work. My throne's already occupied. He said, I just want to use you, okay? Will you be willing to let God use you? B. C. I can't go. A, B, C, yeah. Concentrate on impacting the marketplace. What is the marketplace? It says, the word says, you claim everywhere your foot sets for the kingdom of God. Is it a school? You go to school? That's your marketplace if you're going to school. We have seen schools change. We've seen teen pregnancy rates gone down, violence in schools gone down, drug use in schools gone down. Hawaii is one of 77 schools got together and campaigned in prayer and saw their schools change in Hawaii. God is able in all things. So the marketplace is where you are. The grocery store. You have a business? That's the marketplace. That's your ministry. I've had stories of men. In fact, Bill was telling me last night, he's one of the good examples. He worked at Schmidbauer. He hated his job. It was an agony until he heard this message and realized that's his ministry. Gee, I wanted to be in ministry. His work became his ministry. His work became a form of worship to God. And he saw things start happening. Now he is the pastor of Schmidbauer. People come to him with their needs and need of prayer. Didn't happen before until he came to this realization The next one. Develop a lifestyle of prayer, blessing, humility, and seeking God. That's a very important. What they see, I pray, is not me. What they see, I pray, is Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to develop a lifestyle of prayer. Help me to be a blessing instead of a curse to those I come to. There was one incident. I was counseling a gentleman when Borders was still open in the evening, and I had just finished, and we were walking out. This young lady came running up to the door. She had a black skirt and a white top, which apparently she was headed to work or even late. She was trying to put her keys in her purse. It all spilled out. So I stopped, and I started picking it up and helping her out. And I could see she was really stressed out. And by an unction of the Lord, he said, tell her this. I'm going to bless her this evening. I don't know who she is. Man, that's going to really make me look dumb if you don't do it, God. No. So, being obedient, I just said, oh, God's going to bless you this evening. She said, what? I said, God's going to bless you this evening. She said, my grandmother told me that a half an hour ago. All of a sudden, her whole confidence changed. You saw her glowing, and she just walked on to work. No panic. Whoa, I was blessed. Wow, God. It wasn't me, but I was used. I was used by God only because I was obedient. And I want my lifestyle to be a lifestyle that reflects Jesus Christ. E, join others to exercise the principles of two banks of the river. The five pivotal paradigms in prayer evangelism. As I listened to the various speakers at the conference, I thought of how blessed we were here in Eureka, my hometown, here in Humboldt County. I came to realize that God is already at work here in Humboldt County. And I prayed for Eureka first because Eureka is the county seat. We have every level of government in Eureka, from city to national. All decisions for Humboldt County are made in Eureka by the supervisor. We have a mayor who believes in the power of prayer. Three out of the four council members in the city of Eureka have told me that we need prayer in Eureka. They believe. Did you know that the Board of Supervisors, most of them come out of the households of faith? They believe in the power of prayer. Did you know we have a sheriff who is a mighty man of God? His son's a pastor in a small church, local church. Did you know that we have Christians in law enforcement, in the sheriff's department, deputies and staff that are Christian? In Eureka Police Department, we have officers who are born-again believers, men of God. One of them is my son. You know, in the fire department, we have born-again believers. We have men of faith. Whoa! Here, I'm hearing from, King Flores in his community. He had to pray for his mayor and his city council and the chief of police and the fire, and because they were heathens. They were sinners. You know what? They're not anymore. He led them to the Lord in opportunities to come and pray. He had an opportunity just to come pray with them. He prayed with them. They called him back. You know, your prayer helped. Can you pray some more? Tell me about this Jesus. I need to surrender my life. If over to to the Lord. I mean, awesome things happening. Wow, we already got all that, Lord. I don't have to pray that they come to know you because they already are. The mayor, well, let me back up. In the end of 2010, you know, I was in my workshop. I kind of take a sabbatical from ministry. I was in ministry since 94. Did the Promise Keepers events, did the Humboldt Alliance events, did the Emerald Coast Herald for, well, it was 12 years, opened up a Christian coffee house and saw God move mightily. Then I was rear-ended. And I kind of became dysfunctional. And I had money here and bills here and there that you showed me. You know, I paid that. No, you paid that 3 months ago. I did? You mean I haven't paid it in 2 months? The newspaper was a mess, the last one. I'm embarrassed to see what happened. So I kind of went on the heel. I closed everything down and said, okay, God, it's just me and you. So I've been having a good time in my workshop recently. And at the end of the year, I was in there working and having a good time with the Lord. And, you know, even in the workshop, I've seen miracles happening and awesome things. And I made a mistake. I said, well, Father, what's in store for 2012? He answered me. He said, I want prayer back in Humboldt County. We have been negligent in our prayer. I had. Because back in 2004, in my time of prayer, before the accident, I had called the police department. And I asked them, can you give me a record of domestic violence and child abuse for the year prior, 2003, for Eureka? Well, they sent me a list of domestic violence addresses. It was like 127 of them or something like that. And then they sent me a map with all these little stars. This was the child abuse. So I went and took and made a transparency on my made a thing on my computer and made a transparency. And then I took all the addresses and made circles. Wow. They were all, majority of them, probably a good 90% of them, were in what is called Beat 2 in Eureka. This is Eureka's Beat system. So Beat 2, wow. Beat 2 is a block away from my house. And I checked into the rest of it. That's the highest crime beat in Eureka. So I took those two maps, and I laid them on my little footstool in front of me when I prayed. And I prayed over that. And what I prayed the kingdom of God come to Beat 2. I prayed Revelation 12. Revelation 12, of when the angels were victorious. And it said, they said, now has come salvation, power of God, and the authority of Jesus Christ. And I prayed that to come to Beat 2. September 2004, they had a meeting of the residents, the district attorney, the supervisors, the mayor, chief of police, to talk about what we do about Beat 2. The chief of police, Dave Douglas at that time, announced, he says, as of the first 6 months of 2004, crime in Beat 2 has dropped. It had dropped to a 20-year low. Well, they say, oh, that's because people took ownership, buying up the property and blah, 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 you know? Well, I tried to meet with the chief a month earlier, and his secretary never got the message to him. So I called again after this, and I got a meeting. God's perfect timing. It wouldn't have happened the way God wanted if I met first. I got with the chief, now acting chief, Harpham, a detective, the lady who had her log out there, and she said, yeah, January 28th, I sent it to you, the information. I said, yeah, and I've been praying for it. I said, here are the maps. She says, yeah, that's the map I sent. Sent that one. I said, okay. I said, chief, I've been praying, and that's why you have crime drop in B2. He said, I can believe that. He became the chairman for the National Day of Prayer, Humboldt County, the following year. And he and I have established a good relationship. He had an operation late recently, and I've been praying for him. But God is doing awesome things. Now, am I responsible for that? No. There's a family that's been walking the streets, too, in Beat 2. They live there. I know they've been there. I know there's others who've been praying over that area, too. So it's not, oh, I got this great power. No. If it was up to me, forget it, guys. It ain't going to happen because I don't know how to do it. But he does. But all he asks is to do one thing, pray. It's as if right now God has piled up the kindling. He's piled up the wood. And it's all ready to set to blaze. All he's asking is to ignite a spark. A little spark to set the county ablaze. And that's all it will take. What will it take? But I now see more clearly that which God has set in place and has already started his transformation in Humboldt County. I'm drawn to the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. He said, for all creation waits with great anticipation for the sons of God to be revealed. I've kind of lost my place on the... this is the first time I've done PowerPoint, so thank you. This was what I was talking about before. I'm sorry. But... You can go back. Oh, never mind. You can't go back to that. Let me get back on track here. So let me impart some things to you. The one thing was that scripture. Now has come. The power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ now has come. That is so powerful. And my prayer was that it come. There's two things we really need to focus on and understand before. Grace. Grace is the divine influence of God on your heart, revealed in the life you live. Revealed in the life you live. Revealed by grace. It is. First, acceptance. Any of you seeking acceptance by God, you already have it. It's real in favor. Are any of you living in God's favor? Are you seeking favor of God? Do you need to? Benefits. Does God point out any benefits on your life of being a Christian? Of being a son of God? And or gift of God? Have you received it? That's the grace we're speaking of. The next thing is faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, conviction of the things unseen, and anchored in the unseen world. Man, I can't comprehend me being an influence to anything. When I first walked into the supervisors meeting as directed by the Lord on the first one of the year, because I sat and said, Lord, I'm comfortable behind my wine press. I mean, workshop. Wine press was Gideon. Me, it was a workshop. I said, how can you use me? Go to the supervisors meeting. I walk in, Virginia Bass, who I've known for some time, because I was in business and other things. She walks up, gives me a hug. I've never seen her hug anybody. Gives me a hug, says, John, how are you? Where you been? Okay, Lord. Next, Jimmy Smith comes up, another supervisor. John, it's good to see you. How you been? Where you been? Yeah, okay, Lord. Second meeting, supervisors next week. Sheriff Mike Downey.
John, how you been?
I said, okay, I think I need to talk to you. He said, here's my cell phone number. Give me a call. We'll get together. Well, as it all turned out, that then I was pressured by the Lord to go to the mayor's office. I didn't want to do this. Okay, I'll call him up. Yeah, can I make an appointment with the mayor? I don't know Mike Yeager. I knew he was a sheriff coroner, but he doesn't know me, Lord. I'm nobody. So I walk into his office and, hey, mayor, how you doing? Mayor, where are you in your faith? He said, oh, I'm a man of prayer. He says, I firmly believe in answered prayer. Huh? Yeah. He says, I was married for 5 years. We tried and tried and tried to have kids. He said, couldn't have kids. I went on my knees before the Lord and cried out. We have 4 kids now. And he says, I firmly believe in prayer and I value prayer. I said, well, so do I. I said, for years I did the National Day of Prayer or luncheons for the county, and I've done other events, and I would like to offer my services because I noticed that over the past 20 years, they've never had a mayor's prayer breakfast. They have a presidential prayer breakfast. That's where the president attends. He gave a stirring, inspirational speech, believe it or not. I repent, Lord. Also, that majority of the governors in the United States have prayer breakfasts. Many of the mayors throughout California, in Las Vegas, Nevada, they even have a mayor's prayer breakfast. Las Vegas, Sin City? Yeah, he needs the prayer for his domain. And I said, Frank, would you be interested? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you pick the date. And I said, I'm willing to offer my services. Now, it's not just me. When I say my services, I'm talking about an entire coordinating team that stands behind me. And he says, well, I'd like to do it on the National Day of Prayer. I said, oh, they're going to love me for this. A breakfast and a lunch and a gathering at HSU all on the same day? They're going to love that. So I came back to him. I said, oh, we can handle it. No problem. And they did. We had a prayer. We had all but one of the city council members there, and about half of the supervisors at the breakfast. We had the chief of police. Why am I stumbling over that one? We had the sheriff was there, of course. We had fire chief was there. We had a lot of influential businessmen and people there. They packed out the Warfinger. The mayor was astounded. He couldn't believe that he had that kind of support, prayer support. It lifted him up and encouraged him. God blessed him. Then we had the luncheon with Sheriff Mike Downey. Supervisors were there. Everybody was there. Even politicians who were running against each other were all together in prayer. From different parties, they were there in prayer together. They acknowledged the need for a blessing from the Lord. But awesome things are happening. So, the next, as we go on. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm not able to do this. I'm worried about this. I don't think I could do this. That was me. But then I realized that his grace is sufficient for me. And his power is made perfect in my weakness. I'm not to dwell on my weakness. And I think we as a church have been dwelling on our weaknesses. We need to focus on the power that is at our disposal. The resources of God that he tells us about. If we would do that and turn that upon the world, we would disciple nations. So I want to encourage you, focus on the grace of God and the power. Have faith that in the unseen, what he is about to do. Okay? Don't underestimate yourself. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. But I only have a little bit of faith. You mean like a mustard seed? You mean like a little spark that God can use to put a country ablaze? All right. Fear not. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limits. You understand that? Without limit. What is the limitation? We are. You fear? But I'm nobody. God, I'm going to go in. You know, I'm going to look like one of these guys that go in there just to make a nuisance of themselves or something. You know? Okay. Okay, God. You said it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he told the apostles. The Holy Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit come to you? Holy Spirit come to you when you said, Lord, Jesus, be my God. I hope all here have said that. So you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not me, Lord, then who? Is what I had to ask myself. And I think we need to ask ourselves that. If not you, then who? Who's going to do it? Who is going to answer God's call? Where you send me, Lord, I will go. I had to submit to that. I had to go to places that were uncomfortable. I had to meet people that I was uncomfortable meeting. I'm basically a shy, quiet guy, believe it or not. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that I can stand up here and speak to you today. The last one is go two by two. You want to be effective for Christ, find somebody else with the same heart and the same vision and go two by two. In Luke 10, he sent them out two by two. After the list, there you go, two by two. And the interesting thing is, ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Where he was about to go, two by two. Where you go, he will follow. You go to the sheriff, the police chief here in, I said it right, here in Blue Lake, and say, you know, I've been burdened by you. Can I pray for you? I don't care what you think of him. God is commanding us to pray for the authorities over us. You have a fire chief. You have a mayor. You have a city council. You have schools. Go to the schools. Pray for the schools. Go to the casino. Pray for the casino. That God would prosper them and bless them. No. No. You want to see God change your world? Go where you wouldn't have dared to go before. I have a brother in the Lord who's has what's called the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Harrison, and he would go into the strip clubs, he would go into the bars. That was his ministry. He had led more strippers, more prostitutes, and more pimps to the Lord than anybody I know of. But he's changing his Bourbon Street. Yeah, the enemy keeps sending stuff, but he keeps working. at it, but it's God. He went and God followed. Where he was about to go. Is God coming to Humboldt County?
Yes.
He's here. Is he going to come to Blue Lake?
Yes.
Amen. Is he going to come to the mills? Is he going to come to the casino?
Yes.
If you're willing to say, if not me, Lord, who? He told them, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. You know what happens when you do that? You receive a calling. I did that. I've been praying for harvesters for here in Humboldt County since 1996. And I found out I'm one of them. That he's calling. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Not easy. It's not comfortable. It's scary. But you know what? What do I have to fear? Fear not. He also told them not to take any purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone along the road. What's he saying there? He's saying, don't worry about your needs. Don't worry about if you got the money or the clothing or the shoes or, you know, I need a suit, a nice suit and tie to be able to be an evangelist, you know, or a preacher. Yeah. No. Go as you are. And not to greet anyone on the road. Don't hesitate. Just go. Don't let others hold you up. Oh, I saw Joe. I'm going to go talk to Joe instead of go over here. That's what he's saying. He says, don't greet anybody on the road. Just go. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If anyone who promotes peace in there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eat and drink whatever they give you. Now, this is interesting. You're talking rabbinical or Mosaic law, Jews. They couldn't eat things. They couldn't drink certain things. But he says, eat and drink whatever they give you. Did he say only go to the Jews? No. What is he meaning there? That you have fellowship with them. What they offer you, you accept. And be thankful for. Because you're breaking down walls. Not building. Oh, I can't eat that. That's against my religion. There goes one wall. You know. Oh, I can't go there because it's against my religion. There goes another wall. Do not move around from house to house. So, but the thing, stay there, eat and drink because your worker deserves his wages. God will take care of you. Don't move around from house to house. He's saying, stay focused. Stay focused. He'll give you the vision. He will give you the calling. Stay focused. Next. This is what God's looking for. Two words from you. Just two words. As simple as that. Who is willing to speak those two words to the Lord? Yes, Lord. When I did that, my life changed. See, when I became born-again Christian, when I surrendered my life, I said, Lord, your will be done. Well, my will was when I got out of the Air Force in 83, I was going to go to Ukiah and open up a cabinet shop. But 3 o'clock in the morning, my wife wakes me up and says, we're not going to Ukiah. We're supposed to go to Eureka. No, it's always rainy and foggy up there. We're not going to Eureka. Yes, we are. Okay. So I said, well, I'll give them 2 years. That was September 1st, 1983. Boy, it's been a long 2 years. But I said, yes, Lord. You want to know more about transformation? You want to know more about prayer evangelism? Here's a website you can go to. Transformourworld.org. This is an online place where you can connect and collaborate. You'll see others there. You'll see all over the world, people are praying for their streets. You will see that God is changing and transforming countries. Feel free to do that. Go to Adopt a Street, sign in, put your address down there, and you'll adopt that street in prayer. Step one. Also, they'll ask you a prayer initiative, Humble Canopy of Prayer. That's our prayer initiative. Just log in and click on that one. That's the one you're part of. Then I can monitor what's going on just to give God the glory. You can also get on the front, the homepage there, there's videos, transformation videos. You'll see Ed Savoso speaking and presenting different cities and different countries around the world and transformations happening. You can also press down underneath there, there's a video library on YouTube of all the transformations that are going on. And you can stay up till 2 in the morning looking at these mighty transformations God's doing. And that should encourage you. But I thank you for your time. Excuse me. Like I said, if I were to impart to you everything that conference, we're going another few hours, 4 or 5 hours at least. But I give to you, impart to you this from the Lord, that all he's asking is a yes, Lord, from you. And he'll do the rest if you're willing to step out. Just as the Israelites, when they crossed the Jordan, the floodwaters of the Jordan did not stop until the priests were willing to get their sandals wet. Is there anybody here willing to get their sandals wet? Then I pray, Lord, you know their hearts. Lord, I pray that you tug on their hearts, that you just guide and direct them through your Holy Spirit, that to make this a time of transformation, your time, Lord, that 2012 be a monumental year here in Blue Lake, here in Humboldt County. Open their hearts, their minds to your ways and your will, Lord. Help them enter in boldly with your strength, with no fear, Lord, to where you have called them. That, Lord, you will use them for your mighty works. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.